We're resuming again our series in 1 Peter this evening, and we're in chapter 5, and we have looked at, this is the last section, incidentally, where Peter is thinking now of the church family, and we have looked at the need for those in authority to be Christ-like, particularly pastors, to shepherd the flock of God, and not forcing the congregation to follow Christ, but being examples, leading by example. And now we're moving on this evening to verse 5. So let me read verse 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Easy to remember. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. I'll stop there. So we're to submit to one another. Now, Peter has already looked at this in his letter, so I don't want to go into great detail in looking at submission. But it's not easy, is it? We had in a previous chapter the need to submit to those in authority over us in the country. And with the situation in our land at the moment, whatever your political views, it's not an easy thing to submit to those in government. But that's what God commands us to do. And what I want us to do tonight is look at something which I want to call the key to submission. Because the ideal church, this is what we're aiming for, is a church where everyone is submissive to one another. The atmosphere in that church is beautiful, if I can put it like that. But how can that come about? What's the key to submission? Well, Peter uses an illustration to help us. He talks about humility. That's what makes us submissive to one another. And what's the illustration? Well, it's a lovely illustration. He says, be clothed with humility. That's what I want us to look at tonight. The Bible doesn't have much to say about clothes. The amount of time we spend discussing clothes would make one think that there is much in the Bible about it, but there isn't much. There is something in Deuteronomy against cross-dressing. And apart from that, unless somebody can correct me afterwards, what you have about clothes in the Bible is the robe of righteousness, which Christ gives us when we're saved, and putting on Jesus Christ and the graces of Christ, which is what we're looking at here. So be clothed with humility. Just as you put your clothes on every morning, every day as Christians, we should seek to put on Jesus Christ, put on the mind of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to use two things this morning to help us in this area. If you go mountain walking in this cold weather, you need two layers of clothes, right? You need inner clothes, an inner layer, and I want us to look at that first in terms of wearing humility. There's such a thing as having the right attitude toward ourselves, the inner layer, the base layer of humility. And then you've got your shell, your outer layer, and that's more to do with our attitude to one another, the submission part. So all I want us to do is look at clothing ourselves with humility and starting with the inner layer, our attitude to ourselves. What is it to be humble in terms of ourselves? Need I say, it's not Uriah Heep, false modesty. You remember that character in one of Dickens's novels? Is it David Copperfield Uriah Heep appears in? I am humble, he says. I'm ever so humble. He'd be drawing attention to his humility. But that can't be humility, because the whole point of humility is that one has a low view of oneself. I got a book by John Blanchard, Gathered Gold. It's a collection of quotations. And I found these really challenging quotations about Uriah Heep humility. "If any man," says Spurgeon, "tells me that he is humble, I know him to be profoundly proud." And then somebody else said, "There is nothing worse than conscious humility. It is the most satanic type of pride." So if you ever come across a Christian who's trying to give the impression that they're humble, don't believe a word of it. They're not humble. They're really proud in a very, very subtle way. So what is this humility regarding ourselves? I think the second hymn, that's why I chose it, put its finger on it. When you compare yourself to God, don't you feel small? If you think of God, as the hymnist says, as an ocean, a vast sea, who am I in comparison? So, you see, humility isn't to have a low view of yourself, which demeans yourself. I've heard some preachers say, we are nobodies. That's not right. We are created in God's image. We are fallen creatures, but we are not nobodies because we've been created in this way. And when we've been saved, we've got a new identity in Jesus Christ. We are now blessed in him with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Not even the angels in heaven have that. We are not nobodies. That's not humility, that kind of view. What a humble person says is this: in comparison to God, who am I? And when I think of salvation and the fact that it's of grace, what have I got to boast in? I'm boasting in the Lord. Now, there's something of this even in the world. I'll never forget watching an interview with Jimi Hendrix, the greatest electric guitarist ever. And it was late 60s, one of these American shows. I don't know what it was called. And this chap was saying to Hendrix, "You are the greatest guitarist in the world." And Hendrix shook his head and said, "No, I'm not." And then the chap said, "You are the greatest guitarist in this building." And he said, "I'm not." And in the end, they agreed to this: "You are the greatest guitarist sitting where you are." And I think he was genuine. He had such a view of this gift that he'd been given, that he felt very small in comparison. Now, my brothers and sisters, think of the gift of salvation. We didn't deserve it, did we? Let me quote somebody better than Jimi Hendrix, the Apostle Paul. Listen to how the Apostle Paul put it. "Who am I? For I am the least of the apostles, and not meet to be called an apostle." The greatest preacher, missionary, theologian ever. "I am not meet to be even called an apostle." And Paul couldn't get his mind around it. He said on one occasion, "It is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief." He's humble, you see. Who am I? Spurgeon. I've already quoted Spurgeon. Do you know how many people listen to Spurgeon on Sunday? We're a large congregation here, but we're a drop in the ocean of the congregation of the Met Tab in the 19th century. Thousands of people listen to Spurgeon. And do you know what Spurgeon said about his own preaching? "I wouldn't even bother crossing the road to hear myself preach." Now, if Spurgeon could say that, a man eminently gifted of God, who are we to boast in our abilities? Think of another gift, Charles Wesley. Apparently, Charles Wesley was a brilliant singer. Yet how did he put it in one of his hymns? "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. My voice isn't enough to extol the praises of my Savior. Oh, for a thousand tongues." Who are we? Who are we to think we're somebody's? Do you know what spoils the atmosphere of a church? It's a Christian who is trying to be somebody. It's a Christian who thinks that they are the best gift to that particular church, that they've ever had. It's a Christian who's pushing their weight around. You need to feel sorry for a people afflicted with such Christians. I think it was Augustine, the great Augustine of Hippo, who was asked, what's the three characteristics of a Christian? You know the answer, don't you? What's the three characteristics of a Christian? The first characteristic, he said, is humility. The second characteristic is humility. The third characteristic is humility. So how do I become humble, or more humble, in my view of myself? I've already given you the answer, haven't I? Look at Jesus Christ. Put on Jesus Christ. Every morning. We sing, don't we? No, we don't sing. We hear on the organ. Every Sunday morning, the tune to the chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his beautiful face. Let's do that every day. Let's, as we go into the Word, seek to see Jesus Christ with the eye of faith. And may his majesty and beauty and especially grace cause us to feel very small and yet at the same time amazed that he should have loved me and given himself for me. That's the first item of clothing, inner clothing, one's view of oneself. And then the second point, the shell, the outer clothing. So if we're to put on humility, we don't just have the right view of ourselves, but we have the right view of one another. I think this is a wonderful thing, to realize that in a church, I'm not just among a group of people. I am with my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter what your age difference may be. I know we've got younger people in the gallery and older people on the whole downstairs, but that doesn't make any difference in the church. We are all brothers and sisters together in Jesus Christ. And when we have a view of Christ, we then begin to see one another as his children. Do you see your fellow Christian as somebody that Christ has saved and as somebody who is indwelt by the Spirit of Jesus Christ? So how does this humility affect our relationship to one another? Well, let me start by saying this. I've just got a number of practical points here. And my first point is this. If we really believe the gospel of grace, that there's no inherent good in us, who can hurt us? Listen to Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. I want to read him rather than put it in my own words. Once when men and women have really seen themselves as they are, as the result of the fall, and their own actions, once they have got to know something of the plague of their own hearts, what we were looking at this morning, they are humbled, and nobody can say anything too bad about them. Can I say that again? Nobody can say anything too bad about them. They can always say worse things about themselves than anybody else ever knows. Have you seen that? In Pilgrim's Progress, Christian got to the top of the Delectable Mountains, and you've got the shepherds there, and the shepherds had a song, and the start of the song was this: he that is down need fear no fall. My friend, nobody can hurt you. If you say it is only grace that makes you what you are, then believe that with all your heart. But then it starts influencing how we react to one another. And that's what I want to look at for the rest of this evening. We had Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Or the next verse, let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let me just go through a few practical things, and then we'll be done, as to how this influences us. And I'm also mindful of the hymn we just sang, one of the stanzas, Somebody came to this church many years ago and God spoke to them in this hymn. Listen to this. Humility as a clothing. Let holy charity, mine outward vesture, my shell, my outer layer be, and lowliness become mine inner clothing. True lowliness of heart, which takes the humbler parts, and o'er its own shortcomings weeps with loathing. That's saying the same thing. Now then, how does this work it out in a practical sense? If we're humble with one another, we'll be willing to take the humbler parts. What does that mean? It's the opposite of what you find in the world. In the world, people are proud, aren't they, of their status. You know, in the New Testament church, it was the other way around. I don't know if this was true in the churches that Peter was addressing. It was probably true because he was writing to a number of churches. But in New Testament churches, you'd have slaves as elders, and their masters would be under them as members. Isn't that amazing? I heard of one church, they wouldn't call a man to the pastorate because he was looking too young. Well, what's that got to do with it? Paul said to Timothy, let no one despise your youth. If a slave is an elder over his master, then a young man as a pastor, people should be able to submit to him in humility, you see? I think one of the loveliest example of taking the humbler part I've ever come across was in the Mustard Seed in Lampeter. The cafe, have you been to the Mustard Seed in Lampeter? This is not an advertisement, but it's well worth going there, not just for the food, but for the fellowship. The church in Lampeter and that cafe. And there was a time when you could find the director of education in Cardiganshire, Gareth Jones. Do you know what he was doing? Not having the top table in the Mustard Seed, but washing the dishes in the cafe. I think that's amazing. Taking the humbler parts. Are we ready to do that? Whatever God gives us to do, are we ready, however high we may be in the world, are we ready to take the humbler parts in the church of Jesus Christ? And then another effect, we will take more of an interest in other people than ourselves. Isn't it horrible, this self-centeredness, this navel-gazing? I won't mention names, but I remember visiting a couple, not in this church, I need to say that, not in this church. And for the time I was with them, they were just going on about themselves. Not once did they ask me about me. How strange. I felt sorry for them. They were so obsessed about their own little life, they didn't take an interest in me. Imagine the change in a church if people were more interested in one another than in themselves. It's a good opportunity, isn't it, after the service, to talk to people, to get to know people. One of the loveliest examples, this is the opposite example I come across, was this. A student going to a church for the first time, and this student was studying law, and he was sitting next to an elderly gentleman. And after the service, the elderly gentleman started talking to the student. It's so important to talk to visitors in the church. And he was asking him, why are you here in this city? And the student was explaining, I'm starting as a law student. And this older person was going on asking him questions. And then towards the end, the law student turned to the older man and asked him, so what do you do then? Now, the older student didn't know who the older man was. It was Lord Mackay, the chief chancellor at the time, the highest position of law in the land. And you know what he said? Oh, I'm in law as well. Oh, my friends, two brothers in Christ, a young man and an older Christian who happened to be the Lord Chancellor, but that didn't matter in the church. Enjoying fellowship. humility. You can't have meaningful fellowship without putting on humility, can you? Because if you're going to be suspicious of other people, and if you're going to be looking down upon them, and if you're going to be more interested about yourself, you're not going to enjoy fellowship. What else? Let me just rush through these things. We'll give preference to other people. We'll give preference to them. Is it Paul in Romans 12 which says, give preference to each other? I can't remember the exact words. What does that mean? Can I say this? It means in church council, not thinking that our own particular view is the most important view. We had one member of church council who used to pray. I used to like this prayer. Lord, help us to remember that we've got two ears and one mouth. We'll consider other people's viewpoints as important as our own. You know, it's very practical, isn't it? And in a public prayer meeting, it might mean that instead of always praying straight away, that will give other people an opportunity to pray. Oh, I remember starting out in the ministry and going to my first minister's fraternal. And, I had too much of the zeal of youth. I still got it in measure now. But do you know what one minister said to me? He really put his finger on it. And maybe this is still true. He said to me, you've always got to have the last word. In a discussion, you've always got to have the last word. Oh, may we not want to have the last word. And then, looking out for one another. Looking out for one another. Isn't that what the church is about? As Lord Mackay looked out for the stranger who was sitting next to him. Was it JFK in his famous speech who said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country? Shouldn't we say the same when it comes to church? Ask not, what can my church do for me, but what can I do for my church? Oh, if we all had that attitude more and more. There is that attitude, but if we increased in it, what an atmosphere, what an atmosphere it would create. And let us remember, when we can get all worked up about clothes and about what Christians should wear, that the Bible doesn't have much to say about those kind of clothes, but it's got much to say about one item of clothing, humility. Be clothed with humility. Every day, may we put on humility, inner clothing, our view of ourselves, and outer clothing, our view of one another. May this year be a year when we become more humble and Jesus Christ becomes more in our estimation, for his name's sake. Amen.